Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos is brought to you by...
Injured in an accident? That's no game. But you can bet those insurance companies are going to play dirty to keep that cash from you. What you need is a most valuable player on your team. MVP Injury Law has been bringing home the gold for their clients for over 30 years. No win, no fee. MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
312-883-9500-MVP.
MVPinjurylaw.com. We'll get you the gold.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. And now, with your host, Joey Christopoulos.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into this week's episode. Happy Saturday, Chicago, if you're listening in your car. It's warm, it's muggy, it's summertime, so what better to bring in my producer, John Meadows, with his producer's mailbag questions that we've been getting on the internet from TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and also John Meadows' brain himself. John, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me once again. Hopefully we can do this once a month for John's, I'm going to call it, sports therapy session with Joey here, because I don't have anybody else to talk sports with in my life. My sports circle is very, 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 very tight. So let me lead off with this. You had recently talked about the Bears with your healthy skepticism, and I completely respect that. So while protecting your heart, what are the things you look for in training camp and preseason to get your hopes up and ultimately break your heart again?
These are billable hours, by the way, John, just so you know, in terms of a therapy session, I want to let you know. So when you say that, it's a small thing for me personally, but I always still harken back and I think about this all the time. And it's actually a conversation that I had a couple of years ago on a different show with Mark Silverman from ESPN 1000. And my whole life, when we talk about training camp, and I raced to whether it was the printed newspaper of the Chicago Tribune or whether it was the Chicago Sun-Times, or as we move forward into the parlance of podcasts and radio, you'd get on there and you'd listen. And one of my favorite journalists of all time was Jeff Dickerson. Jeff Dickerson would either write or come onto a show and they'd go, "Hey, Jeff, how did the team look today? How did the quarterback look today in training camp?" And he would just go, "Guys, it was a little up and down. It was a little choppy. It was a little this. It was a little that. They have some work to do." You hear it all the time, John, of how the defense is ahead of the offense. And somehow in this town in Chicago, because we love our defense so deeply, we go, "Oh, yeah, okay, our defense is going to be really good. Let's lean on, stop the run, and maybe we'll win some football games." So what I want to hear, and I think Chicago Bears fans want to hear, just for once in my life, I would love to hear in training camp a reporter come onto a show, a radio hit, whatever, and say, "Man, Caleb looked great today. Man, Caleb was carving up the opposing defense." And not just on 7-7, but in all the drills. We have two joint practices coming up in training camp. It's the Dolphins and it's someone else. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I would love nothing more than have them say, "Man, the offense just absolutely destroyed the Dolphins in joint practice today." I am not in any way saying or alluding to that being the one huge harbinger of a huge season for Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson and the Bears are going to go to the playoffs. But when you talk about training camp, you talk about healthy skepticism that I'm having because I'm in prove it mode. I think that is one of the components there of hearing that the offense gets off to a fast start, stays in rhythm. Caleb looks good. The deep passes look good. The ball's coming out of his hands. And I think that's the best version of a training camp story you could hear that's going to set the Bears up for success this season.
What are your thoughts on the last two seasons? You know, me being an off-season king, this is my third go at it. The past two seasons, I bought into the off-season. I know, and I bought in hard. And, you know, I should be in prove it mode as well, because, you know, those two seasons, you know, I didn't think we were going to win a whole bunch, but I wanted way more of a fist fight than we got in those two seasons. What do you think is the disconnect between, especially last year? We had a great training camp. We had a great off season.
A great training camp.
And, you know, HBO didn't help. You know, that just raised the hype. Like, after that season was over, you know, I'm so dumb. I'm like, "We're going to win it all." You know, he got a great haircut. His beard looks great. I don't know what I was buying into. What do you think that disconnect is between preseason and regular season?
Well, I don't want
to. That happens not even to the Bears for everybody.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for everyone because I've been, look, I'm with you, man. I've been doing a lot of like personal inventory as a Bears fan of like, why am I like this? And why is my team the way that it is? I think the best answer that I could provide with that, and the thing that I've really tried to start focusing on over the last year or so, is I think, and rightfully so, I think Bears fans, we haven't had the quarterback here in a long time. You know, 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns. We all know about that. So I think Bears fans are really starved and excited for some sort of version of an explosive offense or an offense that can score seemingly at will or at any moment to keep us in a game and one day carry us to either a playoff berth or a championship. So when we get the shiny toys of drafting a Roma Dunze, when we trade for a DJ Moore, when we draft a Caleb Williams, even for someone we sign a DeAndre Swift, who I wasn't a huge fan of, it's easy to have that version of optimism and get really excited. I think personally, the thing that we keep forgetting as Bears fans, because it isn't fun to think about and it isn't sexy to talk about, is it really comes down to the offensive and defensive lines. You know, I think offensive line, as Bears fans, we all know that it's been a bugaboo for years. I mean, who hasn't thrown back a cold one in a bar and complained about the Bears offensive line over the last 15 or 20 years? Everyone has done it, right? But I think at the end of the day, when we get into this offseason minutia of getting excited and hyperbolic about the team, I think we continuously forget about the quality of both of those lines. So when we talk about healthy skepticism with this team right now, I have cautious optimism about the offensive line. They revamped the entire unit, right? But at the same time, I still have some question marks I'd like to have answered. You know, Braxton Jones is recovering from ankle surgery as our left tackle. I don't know if he'll be He will play this season, but is he going to get a full training camp to get up to speed and get up to strength to play at the NFL level? It's going to be a challenge. Everyone's always complained that Braxton Jones could always be a little bit stronger. He has not been able to do that, rehabbing an ankle in the offseason, so they might be starting a rookie there. At left guard, Joe Tooney, Hall of Famer, lock it in. Don't need to say much there. At center, Drew Dahlman is someone that I think a lot of people in the NFL like as an above-average player. But I think other people think that he's just fine. So he is going to be an upgrade for us, but let's see what kind of upgrade that is. And then at right guard, Jonah Jackson was a guy who was hurt last year, hasn't played a ton at right guard. And I think, to be honest with you, he has a Pro Bowl on his resume, but I think he deserves a little bit of some skepticism of whether he's going to pan out or not. And then people are waiting to see whether Darnell Wright is going to be the player of the future that they all want him to be. Is he going to finally take that next step in his year three to become a Pro Bowl player? So the offensive line is better. I just don't know how much better it is. We really don't know. And in terms of the defensive line, I'm not incredibly optimistic about the defensive line right now. I think they got a lot better up the middle. They are going to be better at stopping the run, which I think is good news and was a serious problem for the Bears last year. But when you're telling me who's sacking the quarterback this year outside of Montez Sweat, I don't have a ton of answers for you right now. And I think that's still a huge question mark. So I want to be excited about the Chicago Bears. But again, this skepticism, you know, even as we are the offseason kings, and for those listening on WLSAM 890, the crown that John has on right now is so beautiful and so heavy, I'm worried that he's going to tip over. But I do want to be excited about the Bears, but I think there are plenty of question marks, and I'm just not going to cast my lot and just say, you know, automatic playoffs, we're coming for the NFC North. And I think the offensive and defensive lines are the things that Chicago Bears fans sometimes overlook, or we talk ourselves into, because we just want this team to be good so bad.
What pieces do you think we're missing on the defense?
In my personal opinion, we are missing an edge rusher on the other side opposite Montez Sweat. In my opinion, I think that is a huge part of it. I mean, we have good players. I do like Grady Jarrett as a player on the inside. I don't know if we have a dominant interior defensive player. It is going to take a village, I think, to get the job done in that regard. I like Montez Sweat a lot. I don't know if he is that true blue chip player or that ace pass rusher that you really need. So if he isn't that, who is the counter on the other side to get after the quarterback? I'm not a huge Tremaine Edmonds fan. I feel like he makes plays, you know, a couple yards late or after the pass has already been caught or after the guy's already got open a little bit. He depends on turnovers a little bit too much, and turnovers can be extremely volatile. And I do think they have a couple of question marks in the safety position. I'm not so worried about the secondary. I think the secondary is good. The only problem is if the quarterback has all – this is simple. But if the quarterback has all day to throw back there, it doesn't matter how good your secondary is. The NFL wide receivers will find a way to eventually get open. And then we'll be complaining about the secondary, and it might not be their fault. So I just feel like that there are a couple pieces short on the defensive line. I think the linebackers are average. I do like TJ Edwards a lot. I think he is an incredibly strong player. I'm just not a huge fan of Tremaine Edmonds. So I'm not saying that. I think Bears fans possibly might be surprised how average this Bears defense is this year. And it really will be incumbent upon Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and that offense to kind of meet them in the middle a little bit. And my final part of this is, if you're a Bears fan, you know this better than anyone else. Every single year, it seems like we have a defense that ranks somewhere between the top 5 and top 12 of the NFL. We always have a pretty good defense, right? We always have an offense that sits somewhere in the 20s. And sometimes in certain categories, it has a 3 in front of it in terms of the 30s in terms of ranking. Can we ever get a season where, let's say, the Chicago Bears have a defense that is, let's say, top 12 to 15 and an offense that also is top 12 to 15? I just want to see what it looks like. I just want to try it on. I'm not buying it. I'm not taking it home. I just want to try it on and look it in the mirror just once. And I think that is what's going to be some of the pressure that's going to be on the offense this year, just because at this point right now, I just find the defense to be a bit on the average side.
So what are your thoughts on, we have a ton of new people this year. So what's your thoughts on the defensive coordinator?
Dennis Allen, look, he has plenty of experience. He's had two different head coaching opportunities with the Saints and the Raiders. He clearly is a highly sought after defensive coordinator, and you would like to believe and think that now that he is going back to just defensive coordinator duties, that he can put his mark and his stamp on this team. I think the question that you're asking is one of the more intriguing, fascinating questions of the offseason. Is, I know we want to see what Ben Johnson can do on offense, but I am really curious to see a little bit of a mix and match of really, like, what was the Matt Eberflus influence and how does it differ and maybe even contrast with what Dennis Allen is going to do on defense. Are their styles different? Did Matt Eberflus really have any effect on this defense at all? There were some moments in the game where I felt like they did a really good job of adjustments. Again, Matt Eberflus, I always thought he was slow to the switch, where they would come out, they would jump us, and all of a sudden he'd have to kind of counter. And they would do a good job of countering, and the defense would kind of shore up a little bit and give us opportunities to win. Now, it was the shoring up because the offense went more conservative because they were beating us at that time? That's possible. But I think with Dennis Allen, I really do believe it's going to be interesting to see what he brings to the table that's a little bit different. One wrinkle that I think will be a little bit different is he does believe in more interior pressure. I think Matt Eberflus, from a 3-technique perspective, was more about the interior pressure creating a wall that would allow edge rushers to get to the quarterback, where I think Dennis Allen wants to create the pressure through the middle, which is why you see guys like Grady Jarrett on this team now. But, you know, it will be interesting to see. I don't know if he's necessarily got the horses this year, but it will be curious to see what kind of influence did Matt Eberflus really even have on this defense to begin with, and what is Dennis Allen going to do with it? How will it look different, and can he be more efficient with it?
On the other side of the ball, what are your thoughts on the Ben Johnson and the offensive coordinator? So do you think the offensive coordinator that we have now, do you think he's going to be a true OC, or do you think he's just a placeholder?
I think the latter is probably correct on that front. I would be shocked and honestly incredibly surprised if we found out that Declan Doyle was allowed to call plays at any point this season. I think what Ben Johnson has done, and I do appreciate it, and I hope that it works, but what I believe that he's done is he's created a hierarchy, and he's tried to create a room of different opinions and thoughts and ideas. And I think personally, I think Declan Doyle's a young dude. I don't have it off the top of my head. He's in his late 20s. But from what I've been able to gather, he comes from Sean Payton's side, and I guess he's very detail-oriented. He's very organized, and I think basically he is a great administrative assistant for Ben Johnson. And I say that – honestly, I say that in the most complimentary way possible, where I think Ben Johnson's going to have a lot on his plate. And I think he's going to want to walk into a meeting with everything organized, detailed, and ready to go so that he can work through it in an efficient manner. And it seems like Declan Doyle is very good at that. I also think Declan Doyle will be able to voice his opinion and provide his own thoughts and ideas for the offense. But I think Antoine Randall will also be allowed to do that too as well. I think Eric Bieniemy, who is a former offensive coordinator with the Kansas City Chiefs, will be able to voice that opinion as well. And I think Ben Johnson, hopefully, will be taking some of those ideas, philosophies, and pitches, if you will, for what an offense for the Chicago Bears could look like, kind of putting them together and then having Declan Doyle streamline it, organize it, and then get it ready for game day. I think at the end of the day, I think Ben Johnson is calling every single play for the Chicago Bears. I would be incredibly shocked if Declan Doyle does anything more than just kind of organize a line and keep everybody on the same page. And to be very fair, I'm not trying to diminish what Declan Doyle is doing. I think what he's going to be doing is incredibly important. And I think it could be a version of a mentorship that could possibly turn him into an incredible offensive coordinator one day for either us or some other team. But I do think that's how the structure is in place right now for Ben Johnson. And I have to admit, I am on board with it, to be honest with you. I think one of the big positives and maybe one of the reasons for enthusiasm and optimism in this town is, you know, this isn't going to win you football games, but the coaching staff that they've assembled on the offensive side of the ball has pedigree, has attitude, has personality, has intelligence. And I think it's a really intriguing group that Ben Johnson is surrounding himself around in year one. And I think that does give him hopefully a leg up to get this offense off and running. It will obviously always come down to the players then executing on the field at that time.
This next question is a mixture because I got half of this from our TikTok. Hey everybody, we have a TikTok page now. So what are your thoughts? Something that I do, especially like last season. So we were 5-12 last season.
Correct.
Is that it?
Lost 10 in a row.
So lost 10 in a row. There's four games in there that we should have won. You know, you're losing by inches and what have you. If we win those four games, we're 9-8. And this is coupled with someone over on TikTok was talking about the White Sox. And in his comment, he was like, hey, the White Sox has had 19 games where they only lost by one run.
Yeah, the White Sox are 4-19 in one-run games right now.
So what are your thoughts of using like the almost wins as a data point for gauging how good of a team is and showing that the pieces are there to be a really, really good team, but they're not being utilized? What do you use those same data points thought process?
Yeah, no, look, I think it's a great question. And you should definitely follow us on TikTok if you're not. if you're listening to WLSAM 890, drive safely and then park, pick up your phone and follow us on TikTok. It's a lot of fun. Look, when we talk about that, I would prefer to keep things pretty cut and dry when it comes to that. I think the difficult part or the complicated part with the Bears last year was that there are blatant moments that the coaching staff, more specifically the head coach of the Chicago Bears, made decisions that either mathematically in terms of time remaining or down in distance or whatever you want to call it, mathematically put them in really tough spots. We can complain all we want about Matt Eberflus and his decision to just give them what it was at that 6 or 7 yards in the Hail Mary game that even put them in the position to throw up the Hail Mary. But at the end of the day, they still gave up that pass. And you know what I mean? I mean, Tyrique Stevenson not even being in position, even him not even being in position, I still think you have to knock that ball down and make sure that that's incomplete. So, you know, I get it. I mean, I think there's a great way that you can go out of a season, especially a disappointing season, reassess and do a little bit like of a checklist of where your talent is and then start talking yourself into how to correct it and how you could possibly be better at it. And keep in mind, I think one of the most important things before I say what I'm about to say is that we had a rookie quarterback last year. Just by conventional wisdom says that a quarterback should probably be better in his year two, in his year three, in his year four. So you are expecting a little bit more from that area, especially a guy who was a number one pick in the draft. But when we talk about data points and stuff, you know, I keep it pretty cut and dry, man. We're a bad football team. You lose those games because you're a bad team. You lose those games because you are not a team. You lose those games because you're not prepared to play winning football or compete for the playoffs and go to the Super Bowl. There is a reverse coin to that. And we've seen great teams do it in this town. Like, think of a lot of the Lovey teams and those defenses and some of the games where we snatched defeats from the snatched victory from the jaws of defeat, right? And made crazy plays. Peanut Tillman stripping the ball away. The game against Arizona and Denny Green. I mean, those were crazy wins, but their talent, their preparation, and their togetherness as a team put them in a position to flip those losses and turn them into wins. So I can't go both sides of my mouth and say, you know, well, you know, they just got bad luck or it was the coach or whatever it was last year. Like, the Chicago Bears, on its face, were a bad football team. Year one of the DJ Moore experience was fantastic. Year two of the DJ Moore experience left a little bit to be desired. You know, we can make all we want about the body language thing, but it was kind of a real thing. He's supposed to be a leader out there galvanizing the group. And there was moments when he seemed a little checked out at times and didn't quite show up. We had a rookie wide receiver, Roman Duse, with a ton of talent, but needs to learn how to outside block. We had a quarterback, Caleb Williams, who can't throw a deep pass. Those have nothing to do with Matt Eberflus. I admit, Matt Eberflus cost us some victories this year for sure. But I'm not just going to sit here and say, well, that was a playoff team last year. Because the end result is the end result. And I think that's the razor-thin margin that the NFL is. And that's what the Chicago Bears have going up against them this year. And I'm really curious to see, can Ben Johnson have them run at least a tighter operation, a cleaner brand of football? The one thing about Matt Eberflus that I gave him credit for, at least like the first year or two that he was the coach, was that they didn't commit a ton of penalties. They didn't do a bunch of stupid stuff. And as the team got a little bit better in the talent and then the games got a little bit tighter towards the end, we began to see how the coach would fumble those moments in the end. It put him behind the eight ball for sure. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Bears were a good football team last year. They simply weren't. They could have won a couple more games, sure. Maybe the momentum would have changed a little bit if they didn't lose that Hail Mary game. But those are all byproducts of mediocre football. And that's where I kind of need to land on that one. John, we're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos right here on WLS M890. Stick around. We're coming back. It's more from the producer's mailbag. Questions from TikTok, questions from YouTube, questions from our producer, John Meadows. On the way next here on Sports Talk Chicago with Joey Christopoulos.
And now, Auto Accidents 101 with attorney Mark Baden. When do I call a lawyer when I've been in an accident?
Make sure that you call a lawyer as soon as you are physically able to.
How much is it going to cost me to talk to a lawyer?
There's absolutely no charge for a consultation. Moreover, if we take your case and we don't get you an award or a settlement, there's absolutely no charge for any of our services.
I don't have a lot of money. Can't I just do it myself?
Your injury case is too important for a Google search. Insurance companies have defense lawyers working for them full time, and you should have an attorney working for you as well.
Call us right now.
I'm Mark Vedic. I've been helping auto accident victims receive compensation for almost 30 years now. Call us and let me help you get the compensation that you're entitled to.
312-883-9500. 312-883-9500.